Welcome to Dice and Dreary. Previously, the group was under attack by unseen, shadowy assassins. With Father Donovich dead, it's now a race against time to stop the other shadows from killing. We join them as they come face to face with one of the assassins just below Sprocket's workshop. On your way down, you're descending that ladder, which I'm assuming it's still a ladder, Sprocket, right? You haven't had time to rig up an elevator or anything yet?
I don't think so.
When the DM asks you, did you rig up an elevator, you answer, yes, Ray.
On your way down, you spread out about, you know, a couple feet apart. And as you are just about getting to the bottom, you see this, I'm going to say Ismark sees, but and the people around him see this shadowy figure right alongside the scaffolding. Ismark sees this figure moving around, and he jumps down off of the ladder and tumbles to the ground just as you see all of you this shadowy blade attached to kind of an amorphous hand that thrust it out right where he was. It swiped in the air twice and then receded back into the shadows. And everyone, roll initiative.
16.
24.
Of course.
Initiative. 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 Initiative.
Radio.
There's too many NPCs.
Oh, good. Looks like I'm batting cleanup.
Descending. All right, so.
You wouldn't have to give us so many NPCs if you give us another party member. Just saying.
Crethin.
And actually, this is the longest that our NPC friends have lived in this game, so that's... I don't want to give you any ideas.
Well, let's wait till the end of this episode. Crethin, you're up with your 24.
Okay, do I see where the thingy is?
You have a general idea, but no.
Irina's light sword isn't helping.
Irina's light sword is not. She is casting lots of shadows in the scaffolding back to where it receded. You, from your side, on this side of the ladder in the scaffolding, you can't, Crethin.
Okay.
Make out there, but if you suspect, it's back in there.
All right. Okay, well, pretty good with the blind shots, so let's do those.
That's pretty much all of them,
right?
All right, go for it. Disadvantage.
27.
27 is a hit.
For 11.
All right, give me your second one.
14.
14 is a hit. These are some good shots.
Another 11.
Another 11. So do you get one more or is that it?
That's it.
That's it. Okay. So you let these two arrows fly right through the rungs of the ladder. And you hear them hit something on the other side. And you hear this kind of otherworldly hiss as the arrows then... You hear them drop to the ground, and you have a pretty firm idea where this figure is, all of you now, but no, you'll still be disadvantaged. Irina is going to wield this sun sword She is going to strike with the sun sword. Strike out in that area. What does she get? Does she get multi-attack? Yes, she does.
If she doesn't, I'm taking the sun sword back.
She's just going to blindly jam the sword back in there. Okay. 13 is, or no, 9. She blindly shoves this sword just through the ladder rungs towards where she thinks it is. It's the magic longsword. It's finesse property. You gain a +2 bonus to your attack damage roll made with this weapon, which deals radiant damage. 15-foot radius. So as she jams this sword back in there, you see this shadowy figure in the corner as he begins to smoke in the light, the sunlight. Ismark, now clearly able to see the creature, is he's gonna fire his crossbow, and that's a 12, which misses. And then he's going to jab forward with his sword as he drops the crossbow to the ground. And a 9 is also a miss. So he's doing great.
You fire Alana. The sword and jab forward with a crossbow.
Alana, in close quarters here, is going to make 2 attacks. A 14 and a 25, both of which hit. And she deals how much damage? 14 damage to this thing, slicing through it. Sprocket, you are up.
I will draw my little firebolt projector thingy. Ooh. It's a 14 hits we've established for a 13 fire damage.
13, this thing hisses as the flames hit it. You can hear this thing sizzling now, and these flames are shooting out off of it. What else do you do?
That's it. Oh. That's an action.
All right, standing still. No movement. Tariska. Tariska's just going to take a jab with a spear. She has and misses. She's a little shaken by what's going on here. And finally, we get to this fiend. This thing is going, clearly being affected by the sunlight coming off of Irina's sword. And he's going to charge forward nonetheless. And he's going to take a swipe at the first person he can get to, which is going to be Irina, actually, which is 14, does not hit, and a 19 might hit. Yes. So Irina takes 7 piercing and 6 necrotic damage. And her strength score is reduced by 1d4.
That's why you were trying to get your d4.
So her strength score has dropped 2 points. She feels weak. This thing makes those 2 swipes at Irina and then darts to the side. And it is attempting to get into the shadows along the sides of the room, and it is going to hide with a 30. It just disappears. It darts off into the corner of a room of this base of this tower, and is just gone. You don't see it anymore. You don't hear it. And we're back to you, Crethin. It's quiet right now.
Okay, so I don't have the foggiest clue where it is.
Irina is still here with her sword in the sunlight, and Ismark, you can see the thread pointing into the corner that this thing just dove.
Okay. I am trying to calculate in my head. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
All right. I am going to use my action to cast Crusader's Mantle. Using Lance. And so that will be a holy power aura in a 30-foot radius, which I'm going to guess, since we're all on a ladder, is going to hit us all.
Yeah, you're on the ground, all of you. You, okay, like, have just gotten down off the ladder, but yes, it will. Okay. You're in a small area.
All right, so it's a concentration spell for a minute, and we'll get an extra D4 radiant damage on our hits.
All right. Nice. Assuming we can hit.
I'm also hoping that we find the second one within a minute. Does Lance say anything when I've forgotten. Does he say anything when I cast that?
Crusader's Mantle?
Yeah.
Oh, man. I want to say he says something like, by the power of Grayskull, but I don't know. you can't use Grayskull either, but it's by the power of something, but what would it be?
Can I swing it around like Thundercats, but maybe, you know, go, Markovia.
Oh! All right. Crusader's Mantle is cast. Everyone here has that. It's an aura, right?
Yep.
So it's like around on you for a minute. Cool. All right. Staying put in this room.
Yep.
Your options, you can head outside the door. Out the door just here is kind of, sort of like a door, kind of more like a large barn doors, but like the, I'm picturing, do you know, like, Nikola Tesla's Wardcliffe Tower? That's kind of what I was picturing this thing, this, like, Sprocket's laboratory is. You can correct me if I'm wrong, Sprocket, but that sort of style. Like, there's the building, and then just built on top of it is the tower, and up top is where the workshop is. Yeah, so your options are, you're at the kind of the base of this, so it's a 30-foot room, we'll say. And there's like some barn doors that lead out back into the courtyard of the abbey, or the ladder that goes up to the workshop. And you know this creature's in that back corner. So you took your action, movement at all, or staying put?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to other people. No, I'm staying put. That would kind of defeat the purpose of the aura if I cast it and
cast
then,
the aura and then run away. Irina says, we should get outside. It's cramped in here.
That's a good idea. Everyone out.
And that defeats the purpose of me standing here.
She's going to take her attacks first, though. She thinks she knows where it is, so she gets a disadvantage. Can't see it. A 16 hits. And so does a 20. So she deals 5.
And don't forget her 1d4 radiant.
Yes.
From Crusader's Mantle.
So she just annihilates this thing. Two swipes through with the sword, and Crusader's Mantle on top of it, as well as the radiant damage, just this thing lets off a scream and dissipates, and the thread going towards Ysmark vanishes with it.
Now I'm holding concentration, hoping the other one attacks. This is where the DM says 61 seconds pass.
61 seconds pass. Now you wait for a moment and nothing happens. It's quiet. You can hear Irina's sword crackling away.
Where's the other one?
All right. Where's the thread?
The thread is pointing towards the chapel.
All right. Well, let's follow it.
All right. On your way over, Crethin, give me a perception check.
No.
An 8.
What?
Irina is very eager to hunt this thing down, and gets a little too far out of head, leaving some of you in darkness. And as you follow this thread, you catch up to her, and you follow this thread, and it looks like it's inside the chapel.
All right. Okay, let's go.
Irina stops for a second, and she says, "What? Why would it be in the chapel?"
The last one we fought there.
Yes, but it had to come there. Why would this one willingly go into the sunlight?
Oh, that's true.
Irina rolled a very high perception check. See. or insight check. She
says, I don't trust it. Let's circle around the chapel.
All right, so
as you are circling around the chapel, following the thread, you realize that Irina was right. The thread is leading around behind the chapel. And it appeared to have been moving a bit, almost as if it was trying to keep the building between itself and you, but has worked its way into a corner where the thick walls of the inner courtyard of the abbey meet the outer walls, and kind of come to a point there. And it appears that as you're coming around this corner that you might have it cornered. I'm going to...
21!
Nice.
24.
Jerk.
I do have a plus 10.
That's true, and I only get a plus 3. So how far away are we?
You are unsure. Further than 15 feet, because that's the distance of the thread, or of the light that Irina is casting. And Crethin, as soon as that light, dips off, it fades off. So it's straight ahead down this alleyway, probably about, or this kind of narrow alleyway, but still, wide enough for a tree. So think, 25 feet across from
that's good. That's good,
outside wall.
I was planning to attack with a tree.
Okay, good. Yeah, there is a tree in between you and this corner. But there is, to your right is, to the west, I should say, is the outer wall of the abbey. And to the south is where the outer wall meets the inner wall. And to the east of you is the wall of the chapel at the front of the abbey. Tariska, is up first, but she's going to stand by and she's going to use like a defend action. She's not going to attack anything outright because she's honestly terrified. Crethin.
Let's see if Crethin ruins my plans.
What are you doing?
What, wait, where were their plans?
Oh, I have a plan.
Oh, I can't see this thing?
You cannot.
Okay. And how long has it been? I'm thinking it's probably been over a minute.
Yeah. Probably took you more than a minute to kind of walk over there. I will give you, though, like, this final round of it, like right at the end of it. You're right at the end of its influence.
Well, now I have to attack. And I'm pretty sure this is going to be the thing to ruin Sprocket's plans, but
no. So it will end at the start of your turn, of your next turn. So like you won't get, if you don't attack now, you won't get to use it, but Sprocket, Ismark, Irina, and Alana could all benefit from it, is what I mean.
Got it. Okay. Do we have any expectation that we're sneaking up on it? It seems like they are pretty aware of what everything is going on.
Yeah, you don't think you're sneaking up on it at all. You think it's like this is a situation where it can see you, but you can't see it, is what you all think.
All right. Do I have a good enough idea of the direction it's in to shoot arrows?
Yeah, it'll be disadvantage like normal.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. All right. We're gonna fire a couple.
All right.
23.
23 is a hit for sure.
Okay. And 10 piercing and 2 radiant.
All right.
And, I rolled a 1 on that, so hopefully that.
A 1, yes.
Yeah, hopefully that didn't hit Tariska, because that'd be awkward.
No, it sticks into the tree that's in front of
you. Wasted that tree.
and the tree gets damaged with radiant damage.
There's a little scorch mark right where it hit. So are you? You're gonna, I'm assume, stay with everyone to keep the aura going, right?
Yeah.
Sprocket, you are up.
Tree's gonna be a lot worse off. So I pull out a bright red bullet, chamber it, and fire into the far corner with a fireball.
Oh man. Alright. Let's see here. Fireball.
We'll fix the Abbey later.
Yeah, there's no there is nothing that stealth can do to get around that. you can hide all you want. But a fireball
explodes.
I was
inspired from our conversation earlier.
All right. So dexterity save for half. An 11 is not enough.
I imagine that it jumped up and tried to make like a dex save, but you know, bumped its head on whatever was trying to hide underneath. And
so that would be 28 damage.
28, it bursts near this, sets the tree on fire.
poor tree.
28 is enough to crack the outer wall. The outer wall is a little old and not as well maintained. So there's this corner has a crack in the wall now that you are big enough to see through. You could probably fit a hand through there, but no, couldn't fit through. And the tree's on fire, scorch marks all over the wall. In fact, the shadow creature right where it was left like an impression on the wall. So like as it moves away, there's like an area on the wall where there is no the scorch marks. It's just like perfectly clean, and it's in the shape of this shadow assassin with its hands up, like
kind of in a Looney Tunes like pose.
Yeah, yeah, hands up, kind of like no explosion. Sprocket, any movement or just stay in there, no, brushing it. Your hands off. shocked by that action, by that explosion, Irina is kind of
getting off the ground.
Yeah.
I look back and everyone's on the ground.
Everyone's on the ground. Yeah, Irina's getting up and she's like smiles and just is like nodding and just like, well, well done. Kind of a approval of that. And then seeing that the creature's still out there, she's actually using a new feature that is part of that Strongholds and Followers book. She's going to use her stronghold action when she is within the abbey. She can take an action on initiative count 20 for one of the following effects. And she is going to choose each chaotic or evil creature within 120 feet must succeed on a constitution saving throw or be bound by golden chains, grappling it and grappling it.
Wait. What kind of creatures?
Each chaotic or evil creature, your choice.
Oh, she's your choice.
Choosing evil. Yeah, she is choosing.
Oh, good.
Evil.
Oh, good. I like that's good. All of a sudden, she turns around, and both Crithin and Sprocket are like locked on the ground.
What are you implying? I'm not chaotic.
Are you not?
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say.
What was it? Constitution? 5 is a failure.
Why did you roll it 3?
I accidentally clicked it twice.
Are there 3 of them?
No. That was purely an accidental click. not yet. You suddenly see this figure as these chains emerge from nowhere and grapple this creature, holding it steady. And you can see this shadow is being held back by these glowing golden chains. And Ismark is going to charge forward with his sword. Takes 2 attacks. A 12 and a 19. 19 hits, and this thing takes 4.
And give him his d4.
Oh, yeah. D4. And another 3. Irina now gets to also use her turn. That was stronghold actions work like legendary actions a little bit.
Dang. She's like a... Irina's now a BBEG.
Yep. She rolls a 20.
Hopefully the stronghold doesn't think Crescent's evil.
And an 18.
Oh, that is a good question.
No.
Irina's evil for...
Irina's an undead. Like, not evil.
Oh, that's right. You're right. Yeah,
that's true. Not all undead are evil. Just most. It's a fair assumption to make. These attacks are amazingly effective. Just slicing through this chained creature with just viciousness. Irina deals massive amounts of damage. Alana.
Did you give her +4?
Yes, I did.
Okay, cool.
Alana is going to take her two shots, and she's going to use one of her archer's eyes, one of the three that she has. Whoops, that's not.
It still cracks me up.
14.
You're just jealous because she has three and you don't have any.
Right. One of them's probably mine.
15. There's finally the short sword that I accidentally clicked. 14 and 15 are both hits. And she's going to use 1d10 extra damage on this. So let's see. That's 7, 14, and then an extra d10. 24 damage.
Plus a d4.
Plus a d4. 2. All right.
This radiant damage, that's the good stuff.
Yeah, that's the very good stuff. Again, this thing screaming out in pain. Its turn, and it gets to make a strength check versus Irina. A 14 versus Irina, and I believe it is versus her spell save and not her actual strength. Now, if you just find that, 16. So it does not break free. And then from behind you, Sprocket, there, you feel like you hear a noise as you whip around just to be hit by a shadowy burning blade. Does a 25 and a 21 hit you?
Let me check on something real quick. Okay, plus 5. Yes. Both of them.
So you take 9 piercing, so 18 piercing from the two hits. And then you're going to take 24 necrotic.
That's what, 42?
Yeah.
Good night.
And go ahead and roll 2d4.
6.
6. You lose 6 strength.
Goodness.
Well, that sucks.
You should be able to change it on your sheet if you just write down what it currently is. It's not permanent.
That reminds me. Mine's still 3 short from our earlier fight.
Yeah, finish a short or long rest, and it comes back. But yeah, for now, you are minus 6 strength as a second one has emerged from behind you, behind the group, and you're now sandwiched in between them.
Grethin, you missed a thread.
The guard, Tariska, is going to lunge forward at the creature that's attacking you, Sprocket, with an 8. That's not good enough. Crethin, you are up. You've now become aware that there is one behind you and one in front of you. The tree is burning on fire in front of you, and the one in front is chained up. Irina is there, having just dealt 2 massive blows to it.
Okay.
And it's still chained, but the one behind you has just stabbed Sprocket. You can see the wounds are pretty bad.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm going to use... I can see the new one, right?
Yeah, it didn't. Okay. It didn't hide. The new one's still visible.
Great. I will use bonus action to cast Hunter's Mark on it. And so that will be an extra 1d6 damage. A concentration spell. And I am going to... I'm going to keep up with my longbow because my strength is a little down, and that's actually putting my longbow quite a bit. You know what? No, but because I'll get 3. I'll go swords. I'll jump in and Just yell at, Lance, we've got to help Sprocket. Lance.
I'm trying to think of what Lance says.
Lance, you're letting me down, man.
Lance says,
someone's in trouble. Two arms, champion.
All right. 16
is a hit.
Okay. All right. So 7 piercing and then 1 for Hunter's Mark. Good job, Hunter's Mark. crit on the longsword, though.
Oh.
So that would be 10 and then 4 for the Hunter's Mark. So 14 on that one.
All right.
And then 14 for Lance.
14 is a hit.
Great. So 9 plus 3. So that's some math. That's some math for you. Can I give that right over to you for some math?
Thank you. It was all pretty easy. I kept a running tally as I went. Great. Yeah, these blows hit again like before. The Lance's blows seem to be more effective than
than the
normal attacks, and that puts you right there next to Sprocket. And Sprocket, you now are kind of a little bit dazed from having taken so much damage, but you're standing there and you can see this shadowy, smoky creature standing right before you and Crethin. What do you do?
I am going to throw a punch at him.
All right.
Activating 3 charges on the Ring of the Ram.
Oh, yes.
I forgot about the Ring of the Ram.
I was sitting there going, punching. Okay. Well, sure.
So the ring says it's +7 on the attack bonus. Do I add in my proficiency or no?
Yes.
Okay. So
yeah, so your proficiency, it would be just like your... Oh, no proficiency.
No proficiency. Okay.
Yeah, strength
is the 4, bonus, so.
But
literally the exact opposite of what you just said.
Yes, I know.
It's still going to hit anyway.
I had to it still hits. I had to think about it for a minute, but.
So okay. With 3 charges, that will be 6d10.
Holy crap.
Eyes is a pissed off little gnome.
37 damage. Wow.
That was a fantastic roll on those 10s, too.
It was.
D10s.
My fireball roll kind of was meh, but...
There is a crack as you just, like, uppercut it, and it staggers backwards. Is it just damage, or does it do
it's
any...
It's force damage.
Force damage. So yeah, it staggers back.
And it'll push it back 5 feet.
Reeling from that attack. That was impressive. 37 damage. That's gonna get a very loud sound effect.
Hans would be proud.
I'm like picturing like one of those great moves in Street Fighter, like the combo moves, and it goes in slow motion as the helpless body is just flopping backwards.
Everyone's kind of like, whoa, like look back and like, what was that? Ismark is going to help Irina with the one ahead. Distracted, though, looking back over his shoulder. Like, what's going on back to there? Let's see. He gets a 15. That is a hit. And a 7. That is a miss. So this thing takes 7 damage. And Irina. She is going to just again swing the sun sword just down over her head. Yeah, in fact, not that. She's going to go two-handed with this. And misses. misses with her two-handed swing.
Wait, how is she missing against somebody that's tied up?
Well, she got advantage and she rolled an 11 and a 3.
Well, that'll do it.
And she tried to swing upwards and totally just whiffed it again with a 12 and a 13. Or 12 and a 3, I should say. So not great for Irina. She was very distracted by the loud cracking noise of
she was probably swinging when it sounded. That's why. She was like, "Oh, I got this. I can kill it." Ah, you know.
Alana is going to take her shots. Oh, and she misses. She's distracted as well with a 1. But the second one, she manages to get it together, fires, and this thing dissipates as the chains fall to the ground and disappear as well. The shadowy assassin has reeled back a bit from the punch and dives into the shadow of one of the trees. And
doesn't it know what we do to trees?
it disappears from view. Tariska is again not taking an attack. She's searching to try and find this thing, following the lead of all of you. Krethin, what are you doing?
All right, I do have Hunter's Mark on it, which means I would have advantage on any perception or survival check to search for it.
Am I
able to do that?
Yeah, so yeah, go ahead and give me advantage. An advantage perception check to search for it.
Nope.
A 9 does not beat a 20.
So. I was distracted by that punch.
Everyone was, apparently.
Darn. Okay. Well, it's worth a try. So I know kind of the general area of where, so I could take a stab at it.
All right.
Lance.
I know your strike will be true.
It makes one of us.
If it's not, it's your fault.
Lance has gotten so sassy.
That's a hit.
17, yeah.
17.
Huzzah!
8, and then 3 on the Hunter's Mark.
All right.
So.
Still standing.
24 on the longsword.
24 is a hit.
4 and 5. 21 on Lance.
That's a hit as well.
I'm so glad I did so well on perception. Is that 4 and 2. Of course, my damage rolls are crap, but I'll take them.
You slice through this the shadows and feel all your blades connect. You're just whirling through, and you hear that distinctive sound of it dissipating into smoke. Yes, that noise. And it is gone.
It's a good thing you killed it, because you were going to take some damage.
I'm standing right beside you.
I would have been fine.
You've got like 2 hit points left.
I've got 26.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
And were you going to cast Fireball again?
Thunderwave.
Oh.
At level 3 would have been 4d8.
You remember that explosion at the tower that, like, you know, I was being knocked back from the tower and you knocked me back toward the tower?
Mm-hmm.
That's if you had done that, I could just see me, like, you know, like very carefully coming at it and then just being blown to the side into the wall. Oh, gosh. Am I seeing any more threads?
You check everybody, and no one here has threads.
No one here. Okay. All right. I'm going to go obsessively check other people.
You're just going to go search around the campgrounds again?
Yeah, I'm gonna make Irina like come up behind me with the light, like, you know, like we're doing plumbing again.
are you doing this to everyone in the village or the town, or just everyone here in the abbey?
Have they all gone back into the town again?
Oh yeah, yeah. This.
Oh come on,
you guys went up. And we're spending of an hour or two experimenting. Everyone had, you know, they had stuff to do. They got patrols to do. They training, sleeping.
If I can,
you'd think with the booms they'd come running.
Oh yeah, many do. There are quite a few that have shown up armed.
No, I'm totally thinking if Irina doesn't want to come, then I'll spend an hour reattuning myself to the sword and just walk around as a torch.
She definitely offers to come and Sprocket, are you going as well? Door to door?
Yeah, I'm going to give myself a cure light wounds though.
As you travel door to door, knocking on every door as Irina stands and behind you in this glow, in this brilliant armor, holding this flaming sword to light the way as this blind warrior and a gnome in a trench coat and hat are going door to door to everybody. Is quite the scene. This is definitely going to be something that the ragtag infantry that you have here is going to remember for a long time.
As people open the door, we're going to say, do you have a moment to hear about our Lord and Savior, the Morning Lord?
as you say that, it's like, Irina says, no, it's not the Morning Lord anymore.
What is it? I'm sorry. In the fourth house, she's like, he's not even very funny.
She doesn't have an answer for you for what it is, but she just says it's not the Morning Lord.
But what do we call? We don't have it like a name.
It is the holy symbol of Ravenkind.
And I kind of mutter where she can't hear. It's like, you know, I mean, we pulled the stupid thing out of a safe inside a tree while, you know, a crazy witch cast spells on us. So I'm not sure how holy it is.
Yeah, just kind of roll with it.
You don't find any other threads. Takes you a few hours to visit everybody, but you see no threads anywhere. And it's about halfway through, you realize you don't even have to kind of wake anybody up because you can just walk around the outside of their houses with the light and you'd see any threads, but nothing.
I thought about that earlier, but I first of all, this has got to be like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah.
And Cretin is a little on edge, you know, and so I think he's thinking, it's like, you know, but what if it's hiding like in the spare bedroom where we couldn't see it? And so, he's totally going to wake up everybody. This could be like the worst enemy of this army.
Yeah, they're not happy now. Like they were happy. They were a little on edge when you arrived. You know, Someone had just died and you brought an army of an undead to their front door. But then they're like, okay, we'll deal with it. Then people started dying and you were looking at everybody weird. So yeah, it's now you're waking them up again. It's just like, all right, there were explosions earlier. It's like, you know, it was fine until you guys showed up.
And now they're all going to have, they're going to get up at 6 a.m. for calisthenics and patrol, and we're going to sleep in.
But yeah, it's clean. You've cleared the abbey of whatever these shadowy assassins were, and everything is calm again. And just as it's getting close to what I guess you could call sunrise in Barovia, but the only sunlight now seems to be either with Irina's sword or at the chapel in the abbey or at Argenvost Holt. Thanks for listening to Dice and Dreary. If you enjoyed the show, please leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. If you'd like to support the show, visit our Patreon. By becoming a patron, you can get access to our behind-the-scenes episodes post-mortem. Check the show notes for links or visit patreon.com/diceanddreary. And thank you to the Techno Funk Boy for the music in this episode.